Okay, so let's see. Okay, so we're like on the bottom of the first column on Kuf Lama Zion, right? Okay, oh, the other thing I wanted to mention was thing with what we're talking about with the Mashalim, right? The Rambam gives you a criteria, right? That if a thing is impossible to be, right? If it's outside the realm of possibility, then it has to be a mashal, right? So I think Chaim was asking like about different mashalim, like seven-headed monsters, like, you know, what's the story with this? Like, how do you evaluate what's impossible? So the thing is, I think, like, I was looking back, you know, the Rambam says that when he talks about the different katim, with regard to Olam Haba, what do you think Olam Haba is? So one thinks it's all, first cut thinks it's Gan Eden, it's Ochlim Vishosim, Bli Yagia, you know, endless physical indulgence, right? And the Ram says that the Hanum is endless suffering, okay? And the Ram says, V'lom demanche kat zu al da zeba maimam rabim midivri chachamim alayim ha-shalom. Right, that they derive this from many midrashim and many chazal, which they interpret literally, right? Which are not literal. And the Rambam says, and this kat, the reason why they do is they don't know the difference between the impossible and the necessary. So they mistake. They think what's impossible must be. Okay, so I mean, I don't know what Mashalim is referring to, but whatever they are, right? What's the impossibility there? In other words, there. What they're saying is they're interpreting a midrashim to mean that Olam Haba is physical enjoyment, right? That's the schar. So what's the impossibility there? What are they mistaking? Which impossibility are they confusing for necessary? You know, and as we mentioned, like there are certain things that are impossible, like you can't have a square circle, right? But what they're saying is that the what that cut's saying is that the reward is that the Olam Haba is physical pleasure, right? So why isn't that within the realm of possibility? The Rambam says that group doesn't know that which is impossible, but it would seem that's within the realm of possibility, right? Okay, and every other group that maintains different things that what Olam Haba is, some kind of, you know, different kind of thing. But it would seem they're all possibilities. Yeah. Right? It would seem they're all possibilities. So, yeah.
Can you say it's impossible that this whole world, this physical world, and everything that you do in this world is just for another physical pleasure? Because what's the point of that?
What's the point of that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in other words, he's saying that a person that has knowledge of the good knows that it's impossible to say that the physical pleasures are the good. In other words, if a person has knowledge of good and evil, so he knows what the good is and what is not and what is impossible to be the good. Okay? So if a person has knowledge of good and evil, right, then he will know it's impossible that the good for man should be the physical taivas. That's an absolute impossibility. You know what I mean? That's what the Rambam is saying. In other words, the answer is what we were saying before, that there are certain things that a person doesn't know are impossible because he doesn't have the knowledge. But if he would know, like we mentioned, like that the thing should go at the speed of, that any object should travel at the speed of light, right? So to a regular person, that looks, why isn't it possible? But if a person has knowledge of the laws of physics, he would know that thing is impossible. Okay, so the same thing. If a person has no knowledge of the good for man, he will think to him, the ultimate enjoyment and the ultimate good of man will be a life of pure taiva. Right, and that will seem not only possible, but that would seem an absolutely necessary premise to say that, and to deny that would seem to seem in his mind to be the height of stupidity. For a person to deny that the ultimate enjoyment and good for man is just endless pleasure, physical pleasure, then if a person would deny that to them, they would, that would seem to be an impossibility. Okay, because to them that is the ultimate good. But if a person gains knowledge, studies the area and gains knowledge, he will see that it's the exact opposite. That really the enjoyments, the physical enjoyments, are the exact opposite of the ultimate good. And that's really a life of life of frustration. So therefore, what seems to that guy an absolute, to a person who has knowledge, will say that's an absolute impossibility to say that this is the ultimate good. On the contrary, this is something that will harm man. All right? So that's what the Rambam means. The Rambam means that to evaluate the possible and the impossible, you must have knowledge. Now, therefore, this cut that confuses something that is a harm to me and confuses that for the ultimate good, they don't have this kind of knowledge. They don't have the knowledge of good and evil. And therefore, they maintain that something that is an absolute impossibility, they maintain it must be that way. That's all that I'm saying. Right? That's why if you see a mashal, let's take for example, Chaim was saying, like a seven-headed monster, right? So what is the thing with a seven-headed monster, right? So, in other words, you have to realize there's two ideas of the impossible. There is something that's intrinsically impossible, like a square circle. But there's another kind of impossibility, where it's actually impossible. You see, like we said, a thing going at the speed of light. That's not intrinsically impossible. The mind could conceive of a body going at the speed of light, right? It's just it's impossible according to the laws of nature. In other words, with the given system, it's an impossibility. Okay? Now, nature can produce certain things. Okay? And there's certain things that nature can't produce. Right? So there's a certain limit to say I could have a seven head. In other words, nature cannot produce organisms with seven heads. That's an impossibility. That's just as much an impossibility as anything else that you're going to study and say this is impossible. A tree made of gold. Whatever it is. You know what I mean? It's not an impossibility that the mind can't conceive of. The mind can conceive of a tree that is composed of gold. But if a person has knowledge of nature, he'll know that nature cannot produce an entity like that. And therefore, it's impossible. Okay? So that's what it means. It doesn't mean that every mashal has to be something that's intrinsically impossible, but it's something that a person with knowledge will say that this is an impossibility. Nature cannot produce this type of object. It's impossible. Or a person has knowledge of good and evil, he will know that what the Chachamim are calling good is an impossibility. All right? But that's what he means when he says the first cut confuses the impossible with the necessary. It doesn't mean they don't understand that there can't be a square circle. He means, but because of their knowledge, since they have lack of knowledge, therefore they call things that are impossible as absolute, you know, necessary. Okay. Right, the other thing I was wondering was that the Rambam, what the Rambam, the Chazal designed these Midrashim, right, let's say the Midrashim about the Olam Haba, right, but yet if a person doesn't have that knowledge, he's going to think he'll be justified in thinking that that is not a mashal. In other words, the only people that will be able to discern are people with knowledge of good and evil. But the average person reading that mashal, he's going to think it's literal. Right? So it would seem that sometimes Chazal give you a mashal that it's clear from the Medrash that that is not literal, like a seven-headed monster. Okay? But it would seem there are other mashalim, other Midrashim that Chazal devise, that a person will not know that. He won't know that it's a mashal. Right? But that depends on the level of the person. Okay? But the one thing that Rambam is saying is true of all mashalim is that they involve an impossibility. Okay? Now whether you could detect that impossibility, that's up to the reader.
Why is it good to have it like that?
What's that?
Why is it good to have it like that, so that people may stumble?
Why is it good to have what? What's that?
I mean, why is it good to create the midrashim in a way that people without knowledge will, you know, get the completely false idea?
See, right. You know, why is it that in certain cases, right, Chazal, you know, as if Chazal, if Chazal designed Mashalim in a way that people should know that they're not literal and therefore know you have to interpret it, so why is it that certain Mashalim are made in a way that the average person won't know, that he will think it's literal, right? But the answer is like what the Rambam said. The Rambam said that in this area, Chazal did not stop people from did not correct people. In other words, when it comes to Schar Va'onesh, the Rambam says the Chazal didn't correct people. Because just like when you're teaching a person, when you're teaching a youngster to learn, right? So you have to give him motivations. You tell him you should learn for the candy. You should learn for the, you'll give him money, right? So that's the only way a person can progress from one level to another. So the Rambam says the same thing with Chazal. Chazal did not correct the Hamon Am in their idea, in their false idea that Schar is, you know, whatever, their ideas about Schar. They didn't correct it because that person needs that to progress. So therefore, in the Mashalim, they used that, they didn't correct them. They didn't give them something that they would think is impossible. They gave them something that they could interpret in. Okay? But what he's saying is that a person who's a chacham will look at it and will know immediately it's mashal. Okay? Okay. Okay, so the Rambam goes on. Okay? Bimata hakore. If you are the reader, me'achas mishtei hakitos arishonos. You're from one of these two kitos. One of the first two kitos. Im ta'ayin bidvari. Okay? If you'll look into my words, b'shum davar min ha'inyan hazeh. Okay, with regard to what I've... with regard to this inyan. Kilo yatim lach mimena ma'uma. Okay, nothing that I say will make any sense. Okay, and as if the readers belong to the first one, the first kitos, namely that they interpret the words of Chazal literally, or they degrade Chazal, okay, nothing of this in you will make sense. V'lo od ela shiyazik lach v'tisnayehu. You will hate it, and it will annoy you. It will, you know, go against you. Okay, it'll irritate you. Ki eich yatimu mini hamazon kali hakamos mimotzai ha'echus. Okay. How will it be proper? How will it be fitting? Different types of foods. Okay, small quantity and echus, you know, medium quality, just the middle quality. La adam shekvar hogal. Okay. In other words, a person that's used to certain types of foods, very a bad, heavy food. When you give him something that's light and is healthy and is just what the person needs, he doesn't like it. He turns away from it. Hello, rak yaziku v'yisnaim. It goes against them, and they hate that kind of food. They're used to something that, you know, is not really healthy for them, but gives them like a certain kind of feeling. And this food is something they can't appreciate at all. Hinach roe davar osam shehorgalu ba'achilas ha'batzalim va'ashumen. Okay, those that were used to eating these types of food, garlic and onions, va'adagim al haman. I'm sorry, Ro Diver Osam, those that were used to this kind of food, these low, you know, bad foods, what did they say about the man? Mahu v'nafshenu katsa b'lechem aklokel. They didn't enjoy the man. They despised the man because they were used to certain kinds of foods that are excessive for the body. And when they were given something that's really suited exactly for the body and is exactly what the body needs, they couldn't tolerate it. Okay? So that's an interesting thing. In other words, he's right. He's making a comparison. He's saying that the groups, that these two groups, just like by food, you have a comparison. By food, a person that gets used to a certain kind of lifestyle, a certain kind of food, which is not the correct thing for the body, but he becomes used to it and he enjoys that kind of experience. Then if you give him the real thing, it's something that he despises, he can't tolerate. You know, emotionally, it goes against his everything that he's used to. So he's saying the same thing over here. A person that goes along a certain derech, that has a certain way of thinking, or is trained in a certain way of thinking, which is a false, a distorted thinking, when you show him a straight type of thinking, he can't tolerate it. Okay? I mean, it's an interesting thing, because you would say if a person has a distorted thinking, a person doesn't have the right ideas and has false ideas, and you show them the truth, right? You'd say the person should immediately enjoy it, should embrace it, right? The Rambam is saying the contrary. A person gets used to a false thing, when you show them the truth, he turns away from it. He can't tolerate it. He can't tolerate those kind of ideas because he's used to a certain distortion, a certain false way of life, and a certain false ideas, and they taking that away from him, he can't tolerate it. Okay, so therefore, if a person adopts false ideas, there's really two harms. He's away from the truth in two ways. One way is he has a false idea, and the other way is that he cannot really now anymore comprehend the truth. It prevents him from acquiring the truth because he becomes fixed to those ideas. Yeah.
This has nothing to do with having false ideas per se. It's just when you have a certain path in anything, then you become so engrossed with that it's very hard to go perceive the opposite.
Yeah, it's a good question. In other words, is it because a person just wants to stick on the same thing he's always doing, or is it something in the false ideas?
Right.
It's a good question. It's a good question. And certainly a person does become fixed to a certain way of thinking. Right? But it would seem in addition, the ideas have a certain attraction. Why did he get fixed onto those ideas? It's not because of the value of the ideas, you know. It's not because he didn't get fixed on those ideas because of the truth of them or any kind of overriding merit that the idea has, right? And he got fixed on those ideas because it appeals to him, something in him. You know what I mean? So then that's a strong motive for the person to continue. Okay. But before the person becomes fixed, then he's still open. He hasn't necessarily committed himself to this. But once a person commits himself to a thing, especially if it's something that there's a strong motive, it's a false idea, and therefore in him there's something, a motive to adopt that, then the longer he's in that thing, that's it. Right? That's the thing. So, you got to be careful. The person has to be careful. You know, it's not just that you don't know the truth, it's that if you're adopting something that's false, that really is a stop, that prevents you from, it becomes very hard to withdraw from it. Okay? It's like an addiction almost. Like a person gets addicted to a drug. Right? So it's the addiction itself is harmful, but the addiction then prevents him from correcting himself. Okay? So that's what Rome says. So these two people, forget it. These two groups, the Rambam is saying that anything that what he's about to discuss will not be acceptable to those two groups. They're not going to. There's no way that they are going to accept it, to like it or accept it. Okay.
Question.
Yeah.
The second group who just underestimates the Chochmah of Chazal. Why is that something that's? I mean, you just have to show them. It's not like a not really like a false idea, like
the second group.
Yeah.
That's the group that's driven by their sense of their own greatness, their own opinion of themselves, the high opinion of themselves, right? And they say, they immediately interpret Chazal that they're fools because they have a high opinion of themselves. That's a very difficult thing to dislodge, because then you're going to have to show the guy that he knows nothing. Good luck. Right? It's not so easy. Okay? And immediately, a guy like that, he reads this stuff, yeah, he's going to be very disturbed by it. Not going to be happy. Okay? I guess that's why not too many people read this stuff. Yeah. Okay. Vimata me anshe hakana shlishis, if you're from the third cut, she calls man, she is dame lach, davar midvrehem, vimasha seichel marchiko, tisakevetzlo veteda, shuhido mashal. Okay, so if you're from the third cut, okay, then whenever you see something that does not make sense, you reject it. Okay, so veteda shuhido mashal, Vitisha betidas alei beimas amachshava vavanasa. So a person like that put his efforts into understanding the true idea behind the mashal. Doeg l'mtsoa dercha emes v'rayin hatzedek. Okay, so a person worries. You know, he's like consumed by the desire to comprehend the true idea. It's like something that bothers him to not to have that knowledge. And as he's driven to gain that knowledge. Okay? Okay, Kamoshama brings Sukkim. His bonim bedivre bedvari tasik toelis in yirtz Hashem yisala. Okay, so the Rambam is saying that a person that understands that there's knowledge here, that is a person that he's not going to be just satisfied. It's going to bother him, and he'll be worried and struggle to gain the knowledge. Okay. So now the Ram starts off. So far the Ram has just really shown. Excluded the ideas, the false ideas, right? Okay, so now he's going to give you the true idea. Well, what is the true concept that we should have with regard to these areas? Okay? V'ata achel l'daber b'mash ratzisi. Okay, now I'm going to start talking. Da ki k'shem shelo yasik hasuma es hatzabayim v'lo yasik hacherish es hakolos v'lo hasaris taivas hamishkol kach lo yasigu hagufos hatanugos hanafshim. Okay? So what does Ram say? Just like a blind man cannot see color, okay, a deaf person cannot hear sounds, lo hasaris taivas hamishko, and a person that doesn't have the sexual organs cannot attain the enjoyment of the sexual act, kach Lo yasigu hagufos atainugas anefshim. Okay, so too, a person with a body cannot experience the spiritual pleasures. Okay? Right? Okay, so what's the Rambam saying? Right, person is blind, right? That cannot see color, right? First of all, why does Ram say a person is blind cannot see color? A person can't see the object.
Because he can feel for an object and figure out what it is, but he'll never be able to figure out what the color is.
Right.
That's what I'm telling
you. That's right. Now, as a person can feel, a person is blind, has a sense of touch. Right, but the Ram saying that color, person that's blind has no way of experiencing. So he's saying the same thing over here. When it comes to the physical pleasures, when it comes to the spiritual pleasures, right, a person with his physical nature, with the body, cannot experience, cannot have an idea of what that pleasure is, cannot experience that pleasure, the spiritual pleasure, in any way. Okay? Not through any kind of medium. He has no vehicle with which to experience that enjoyment. Okay? Okay? Kushayim she'ein hadag makir yisod ha'esh. Just like a fish cannot sense fire, mibnei shahu sharoi b'hafcha, because the fish